Hello and good afternoon, Xbox Nation. Welcome to this week's new episode of X Vlog Live. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL. And today, folks, as you know, this is a one-on-one show. We do this every week, every Thursday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And one of the missions that Mrs. Boomstick and I have really grinded to make sure we made it possible was to bring in new voices, new opinions, and talent from around the globe. And today I am unbelievably privileged to be sitting down with Liam Brown. He is the manager of the Pittsburgh Knights, an esports organization that has a lot of tentacles, more than I could have possibly imagined. And I was, obviously, if you're a fan of Double Barrel Gaming, we don't normally do esports, but when the opportunity was presented to me to sit down with Liam, I said, you know what? Let's open the door to new things. And Liam, brother, thank you so much for hanging out. Obviously, you know this is a gaming video game podcast, but at your core, you're a gamer just like all of us. You know, besides, you know, welcoming you here, let's get into who Liam Brown is, what you do, because like I was telling you in the green room, your age, your laser-focused mentality is so welcome and so appreciated. I cannot begin to tell you. And just based on the statement you have on your LinkedIn, incredibly impressive, brother. Thanks so much for joining. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. Thanks for having me here. You know, I was watching your show before this. You know, I'm really excited to be here. And yeah, you know, I've been a gamer for a long time, and I've been in a couple of different circles in tech and in business, and my work with the Knights, working on the corporate partnership side, it's really interesting, and I'd, you know, love to dive in and answer any questions.
Well, you know what? What I would like to do is just take a take the quotes from your LinkedIn, and I want people to understand. You know, again, you know, we talk about the community. The community is every race, creed, color, sexual orientation, religion. Everyone's welcome. Ages from 5 to 75. Gaming is an amazing place. And it allows for everyone's voice to matter. And I think that is why I have been so stuck to this industry. Remember, I mean, everyone that knows me, and Liam, I don't know if you know that my background, my father brought home the Atari 2600 in 1978, and I never looked back.
That's awesome.
I say this all the time, and I say it with respect. I say it with an abundance of appreciation that I had an opportunity as a human being, as a gamer, to experience when they were sticks and dots to what we see now that are just lifelike and that you cannot even tell between what's real and what's not. So I'm incredibly privileged. But folks, I did pull Liam's quote from his LinkedIn, and this is why I could not wait to interview him, because the words that are spoken here are true. They are passionate, and honestly, I was incredibly impressed. He says this, folks: working in the exciting world of esports and loving every minute of it, bridging the gap between gaming culture and health and wellness, always looking to better myself and my team every single day. Let's get connected and change the future. Now, again, this is something that if it came from me, you're like, well, Boom's an old guy. I mean, of course he's going to talk like that. But Liam, you're 25. This is incredible. Let's talk about, you know, about the Pittsburgh Knights. Let's talk about what your role is in this esports team and, you know, what some of the games that your guys are playing on a regular basis.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a great question. So my role with the Knights Esports Group is officially it's a corporate partnerships manager. And what that means is I manage all of our current partnerships so that we are able to craft the messaging that these brands want to put out to the gamer audience in a way that speaks to our audience and our fans in an authentic and organic way. Because, you know, you and I both know this audience, they can spot an ad from a mile away, right? Yeah. It's not the typical like logo slap on that initiative and it'll work out. So I oversee with myself and my team, our current partnerships, and then I also receive, digest, and also send out different proposals related to how different brands want to work with us so that we can stick to our brand core values and then also ensure that more brands are brought into the gaming space so that we can build the gaming space overall for everybody involved. And the what a lot of people may not know about esports in general is that esports teams, they act as organizations that own several different teams, right?
Okay.
Now, how I would describe any esports team really is one organization that owns a soccer team, a football team, a hockey team, right? Because as you and I both know, Valorant fans aren't the same as Halo fans.
Correct.
Who aren't the same as Overwatch fans, right? So when an esports group or an esports team has several different gaming titles that they compete in, that gives them access to representation of their sponsors to different audience groups, right? So in our current roster, we have shrunk it down so that we could focus on leadership in other gaming titles such as Valorant, Rocket League, Apex Legends. But our current roster is four teams in iRacing, Madden 2023, Rainbow Six Siege, and also fighting games such as Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter.
Okay. Wow.
And then on the other side of that, we also have different influencers that are part of our umbrella that will stream and create content in games such as Apex Legends, Fall Guys, Rocket League, Valorant, and those kinds of things. So the spread of the audience groups that we have access to is relatively large because we're able to take part in so many different exciting gaming titles, right? So that's some of what that's the current spread as far as games go. But as we'll get into later on, like, we also act as a leader in the space and help to facilitate the path to pro environment for amateurs and also current teams that exist. So nice. A lot of exciting stuff in our wheelhouse, which we'll
get into. I mean, again, this is a monster business. Anyone that has that's a gamer, that even if you're not like myself, you know, I really don't have a tremendous interest in esports. I would rather play than watch someone play. That's just who I am. But you know, before we get into the two topics, obviously we got to know who Liam is. You know, I would feel I shortchanged you or potentially the audience if I didn't ask, like, first of all, what is your console of choice? Are you strictly PC? Mm-hmm. Are you an Xbox gamer? Are you PlayStation? Mm-hmm. Are you Nintendo? Do you dabble in a little bit of all? But more importantly, what's your favorite franchise of all time?
Right. My, as far as favorite franchise goes, it's probably going to be the Far Cry series.
Oh, okay.
I still actively play Far Cry 3, 4, and 5. I still have 4 and 5 on disc over here, right?
Awesome.
I'm a purist. And then as far as my favorite console, it's probably going to be Xbox, because the way they made their controllers when I was younger and also up until now, because of the way it's built, I feel like I can be frustrated without, now I don't rage quit or anything like that.
Right.
But when I do get frustrated at a particularly challenging setting, I feel that I can press into the remote and just, you know, be like, oh, all right, let's get back into it, because it's relatively thicker and it fills out the hands a little bit more.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that I restrict at all. You know, I would run a lot of different, I would host a lot of different gaming parties in college where we would play on the Nintendo Switch, right? And those remotes are relatively smaller.
Yeah.
And when you're playing a title such a group title such as Mario Kart or Super Smash Brothers, high intensity, high energy, everyone's going back and forth in conversation, but also their focus is on something completely different. You know, there's a lot to be said about controlling a small remote with such large ramifications of your behavior in the game, right? And then from the PC side, my introduction to PC gaming is a little unorthodox because I never really had a gaming PC. I never really looked into all the different specs and stuff like that when I was younger. And I would use my parents' old desktop computer, and then I would also use that to game in a title called Star Wars: The Old Republic, which is a sequel to the Knights of the Republic series.
Right.
And it's big MMORPG that is still around today somehow. But you know, that kind of touches each of the points. And then also, like, with PlayStation, that's where I got my start, and I would play in PlayStation 2 with my dad in Madden 06 and some of the Tekken games. But my mom stopped us from playing Tekken very early on because it was too violent. So we kind of stuck with Madden, like, just gaming between the two of us. Yeah,
no, that's good stuff, man. I mean, listen, I'm glad that we had it. You know, took a few minutes to kind of, you know, get your background, because, like I said, ultimately, yes, you're a businessman, and you do have a lot of important roles that you play with the Pittsburgh Knights regarding, you know, staffing and sponsorship is tremendous. That's mm-hmm. obviously a major aspect of esports.
Yeah.
I'm glad that, you know, we got to know that, you know, again, for me, I agree. My console, my platform of choice is Xbox. Mm-hmm. I do. If I had to order, you know, put them in order, for me, it would be Xbox first, Nintendo Switch second, and PlayStation third, only because PlayStation, I only own it because they have incredible first party games. Because I'm old, I like those single player story driven games. But I want to kind of just move the conversation along, because I'm very interested to get your hot take on this. You know, obviously yesterday was a bit of a shock. We had some shocking news, Liam. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, a few weeks ago, we learned that the CMA had vetoed Microsoft's attempt to acquire Activision Blizzard King. And it shocked the world. It even shocked me, and it shocked Microsoft, for that matter, because they were some conversations were had. They were all under the impression that this was going to go through, and then somehow something happened, and it just didn't. So a lot of people were talking about the deal being dead, and I was one of the people that did not believe that for a second. But yesterday, right. Liam, yesterday something happened, and we had word from two pretty big news sources. Bloomberg and Reuters.
Yep.
They basically, the news that came out of both of these publications was that the EU Commission was in fact going to pass the deal. And that's pretty incredible. Now, I say that all to say and lead into one of the topics is Major League Gaming, which of course you are familiar with, and they're one of the premier places for esports. Well, they're owned by Activision, and they are a rather large piece of the esports puzzle. And Microsoft, potentially, based on, you know, the new news that the EU is going to be in their favor, kind of it narrows the gap in the deal being done potentially by the end of the year. My question to you is, you know, something like Call of Duty is, regardless of whether you play it, and I don't play Call of Duty online. I like the single player stuff. I used to dabble in Call of Duty. It's just not my thing. But I know that it's a lot of people's thing. I think there's something to be said. Now, you made mention of brand, you know, leadership. When you look at a particular brand and that particular brand is associated with the Pittsburgh Knights, there's a significant amount of honor that goes with it, but it's also a big business aspect to it, because whatever product A is associated with your teams, that's a really big deal. So for Call of Duty, Liam, to be associated with Xbox as it was in the 360 days would be huge. My question to you very simply is, if Microsoft does get this deal done, and it looks like that potentially is going to happen, and they become owners, they have ownership of MLG, which is one of the bigger gaming esports places. Do you think associating Call of Duty with Microsoft and Xbox is potentially going to bring back the same fans that were there in like the Xbox 360 days, where, you know, now for the last decade or so, Sony has had the marketing rights? Mm-hmm. And they make a lot of money over on PlayStation. This would be pretty big for Microsoft. What are your thoughts on the deal MLG and specifically Call of Duty being associated with the brand?
Well, I think one thing that we have to look at is how the Call of Duty League, when they franchised out a little while ago, that killed a lot of the competition, and that killed a lot of the fan base, because that made them shift over to streamers, and it made them shift over to more content creators as opposed to the on the professional side. Now, that's not to mention that, and that's not to face the fact that Call of Duty League is huge, but I think that should it when the merger goes through, right, and we'll hear back around by like the 15th, I believe some articles are saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if they gain access to MLG Gaming and the platform that surrounds it, they will do a bigger push into events and perhaps even start to facilitate more competition surrounding the title. Because since they have access to a larger network and a larger tournament network, they'll be able to bring on different talent, and that'll also enable them to, you know, capitalize just off purely off of the network and kind of the history of MLG, so that they're better able to bring life to some of their old titles. And I think that if they do a larger events push and try to make their games esport worthy again, and we can get into what that means, I think that we could see a lot more life go back into Call of Duty. But I wonder how that's going to affect the, like, you know, a little bit of like some of the other gaming titles and massive like multiplayer games that are considered in this big deal. You know, we were talking a little bit about, you know, Halo and things like, and we'll get into that, but it's going to be interesting to see how these two compete, because they've acted as separate entities with such differing fan bases for so long. Right. And per, you know, and with the battle royale discussion, you know, what I would like to see with games like Smash or games like Fortnite, the ability of cross compatible characters in different games.
Yep.
Right. So I think there's a lot of people at home who would like to see Ghost go up against, you know, Master Chief. I mean, he'd get slaughtered, obviously, but, you know, there's like some fun to be had there. So I think that this could be a greater esport and competitive push, perhaps, that, you know, both sides are considering in this space.
Yeah. I mean, listen, like I said, Call of Duty is huge. MLG is another entity that when you talk about it, it just has such a mass appeal for people that are in that space.
Yeah.
One of the things, you know, when you look at the ABK deal, I know that everyone, and there's a lot of people that have completely just laser focused on Call of Duty being the real reason why. And I'm sure, I mean, obviously Call of Duty, like jumping into Xbox Game Pass when the Sony deal is done, is going to be a big deal for a lot of people. Because what it's ultimately going to do for Xbox Game Pass and its subscribers, it's going to elevate the value of Game Pass outside of what Microsoft is delivering on their first party, plus some third and second party deals. When Call of Duty, and I say when because I'm like you, I mean, we are looking at this from a gamer's point, but I think we both are also looking at it from a business perspective. They have Microsoft and ABK have law, and they have history on their side, so there's a good chance this deal does get done, especially if the EU does announce on Monday, which is expected early Monday morning, that they're going to announce that they have approved the deal. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it's going to be trying to knock down the rest of the dominoes. When you see how associated the brand is to PlayStation, because that's something that Sony does really, really good. Their marketing is just, it's really unmatched when you look at how crazy their marketing is, how much money they spend on it. Liam, you've had a chance over the years of not only being a player, but obviously now being involved in corporate decisions. Mm-hmm. How difficult do you think it's going to be to move the brand association from PlayStation back to Xbox? Like, what kind of an uphill battle does Microsoft have ahead of them outside of just buying the brand?
I think this is a huge branding discussion, because what both sides have done is highlight the unique characteristics and, you know, game exclusivity, different specs of the system, you know, exclusive content. And they've done so much to divide themselves from each other.
Yep.
That it's going to, going into this, it's going to be that much more difficult to bring them together, right? This is a classic example of two rivals that need to work together now for a common goal when they've been, for lack of a better term, they've been at war with each other for so long, right? So yeah. What I'd like to see from this is, you know, you bring up a really good point of, you know, they've been at odds with each other for so long. And what I'd like to see is, you know, besides the cross compatibility, what integrations of different software and user oriented play style are we going to see from this that enables you to perhaps link together your PlayStation Store and your Xbox Store accounts? How are we going to be merging together those two very, very different stores? Is there going to be a larger discussion for, you know, being able to transfer your awards and your achievements from different accounts, because that's something that matters to a lot of people, sure. Right? From the user perspective, at least I know I grinded hard for a lot of the achievements that I have, right? I'd like to keep some of those badges, like as if I were to transfer some of my stuff over, will I even need to transfer over? Right. And it's going to be making in Xbox terms, that cross compatibility, right, with the experience of PlayStation versus Xbox, it's going to be make that a lot more challenging. But I'm very excited to see where this goes, you know, because, you know, I mean, you know, this, they've been the two faces of the console wars for decades.
Yeah,
you know, I'm very excited.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo does their own thing. You know what? Nintendo's just always going to be Nintendo. They walk to their own drum. As a matter of fact, tomorrow on Breakfast with Boom at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, folks, of course, we're going to be talking about the ridiculous scores that Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is getting. It's rocking a lot of tens, folks. I'm very excited for. It's already pre-downloaded. I cannot wait to start playing. I know some people, I'm not going to name names on this show, are playing, and I'm very jelly of that for sure. Some people that I know personally have over 20 hours, so I can't wait to get there. What, Liam, you know, before we move on to the Halo topic, you know, the one thing that we saw Sony do to great success was make content heavily exclusive versus Xbox. They did that with certain modes that would be held back for a year. By the time that mode became available, the next Call of Duty came out. From a player's point of view, I understand from a business point of view why you would do that, because you're going to get people to buy your console. Because Sony is very, very old-fashioned. Buy our box. Buy a game, play on our box, right? That's how they want to do it. That's how they have done it for decades. Where Microsoft is, you know, hey, listen, don't buy the box. Play anywhere you want. You know, play on your TV, play on your handheld, your you know, like for instance, the handheld that was announced today looks amazing. I did pre-order it. That's really going to bring handheld gaming to a new level, because you literally have a power of PC in your hands.
Yeah.
My question, I want to bring it back to Call of Duty, though. Do you expect Microsoft to pull the same thing? Or is it going to be more of the Microsoft, the nice guy Microsoft that we know? Like, hey, listen, content is for everyone. Play where you want. We just want to make money.
Since they're going to be coming together, I think that they're going to be going into more of like a nice guy mode as they move forward. Because, you know, since they're going to be owned by the same people, and usually when larger companies create these kinds of partnerships there's such larger ramifications for the kinds of brands that are involved, they have to take into account what one piece is doing has to be friendly for the entire piece, right? And especially for Sony, you know, I understand that Sony is the strategy has just worked for so long, you know, and especially because they put so much detail into releasing like PlayStation exclusive games, such as, you know, your God of War, Hogwarts Legacy for a little bit was primarily exclusive to the PS5. And then also, you know, I'm classic. I go back to the Uncharted games, right? And when I would see stuff like that, it's that model isn't is most likely not going to be followed in this situation, just because, you know, you have to pull in the audience of your enemy and who you're, the followers of your enemy, because you want them to, you want to reap the same benefits that they were at the same time. Right. So I think that this is going to be, there's going to be a huge shift. Once this goes through, there's going to be a huge shift. I mean, you know, even from like a culture perspective, there's going to be offices integrating together. You know, in, when you go into morning meetings, there's going to be more people from the other side that you really didn't think you were going to be in the same rooms with. Right. And those people are now are going to have to work together in every level of this. And, I think that the you know, the guys in marketing are going to have a field day with this, right? Because for the longest time, when they would have their whiteboards out, when they would be in the meetings, they're just like, okay, how can we get that guy? Okay, well, now he's in the room with us. So how do we switch this up? Right? I think so. Again, I keep harping on like that. I'm excited, but I'm also just excited in general because this is happening in my field. So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, obviously it has certain, a lot of implications for you personally and the team, because if Call of Duty becomes a thing and, I can't say has it fallen off or not, because I don't follow Call of Duty esports, but I know that the brand itself is a moneymaker. Speaking of brands, I want to talk about Halo for a second. This is an IP that has seen in recent years a decline. It's one of my favorite brands, obviously, because I'm an Xbox guy. And 343 Industries has had a significant amount of trouble with management. They've had significant issues with direction, specifically for Halo and where they were going to take it. It's still played in Major League Gaming. Obviously, they have a tremendous partnership with them. It's a popular franchise, but it doesn't seem to have the same popularity as like an Apex Legends or a Call of Duty Warzone, because obviously Battle Royale is a big part of esports. It has taken over Fortnite, obviously. Put it out there, and Fortnite does it. I mean, what they do over in Fortnite and Epic Games is just amazing. The fact that they can have a lobby, and I've said this multiple times, especially if, you're pop culture kind of a person like I am, you can see Master Chief, Kratos, and Indiana Jones in the same lobby. It's unbelievable to me that actually exists. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can also have in that lobby Snake Eyes. And you can have Dragon Ball Z. It's unbelievable that actually works, but it works to great success. Well, Halo is looking to get into the Battle Royale, and that's not being done by 343 Industries. That's being done by Certain Affinity. And as you know, Certain Affinity is run by a lot of ex-Bungie developers that were or developers at 343 Industries. They are the masters. Certain Affinity has not let taken the veil off of what it's going to look like. They said it's going to be something special. It's going to be something different. Looking at Halo right now, the way it's perceived, and it's perceived in not the greatest of lights, Liam, because it's light on content. The maps are not hitting as fast as you would like, or at least I would personally like. I will say this: season 3 is astounding. It's the best season so far. I have over 14 days played in Halo Infinite, both multiplayer and single player, but mostly multiplayer. The question for you, I'm very interested to get your eye on this. Can a Battle Royale Halo at this stage in gaming make a dent against a Fortnite, against an Apex Legends, against a Call of Duty Warzone? What are your thoughts on that, Liam?
I'm very divided on this because I grew up with Halo, right? But also, I understand that 343 has not been acting with the user in mind as of late, or the Halo, the historical Halo fan as of late. Well, we even saw with the one TV series that they did, every Halo fan disliked the series. And in my mind, it's almost as if they took more attention away from managing and providing for their fans with that series than they did with the actual game that the users were going to experience. And it's taken this long for bug fixes and things that, and cheating fixes and things of that nature with this new May update that people were hoping for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And then they want to go out and they want to announce a Battle Royale game where, sure, now here's the thing. The way they're setting it up and the people that are in charge of the Battle Royale, those are the top people that I would hope would be in charge of something like this. Too many mm-hmm. times have we seen where people who are talented, who are motivated to provide something for the fans, but they don't have experience with the lore, they don't have experience with the gaming title as other people would. And then they go in and they create a project, which, sure, you know, developing a game is one, you got to move heaven and earth to do so, right? Now, developing a game is cool, but they would go in and they would create stuff that, you know, the fans didn't really want. So as far as who is heading this project, this is the perfect people to do so. But on the grand scheme of things, they have so much to compete with on just the overall status of let's say Epic Games and Fortnite, right? What the user now has the ability to do, especially with Fortnite 2.0, is the ability to create other games that they want. Yeah. They followed the Roblox model, which was so successful, except now you're able to use Unreal Engine and you're able to create anything you want with everybody in mind, right? And they're also just consistently building off of a model that works in the form of a completely open sandbox battle royale, where you're able to pull in creative strategies from a bunch of different gaming titles that people have experience with. And then you're able to go in and do more and more. And it's been cross compatible, right? And all those things are working in Fortnite's wheelhouse. Now, when you look at with Halo IP, when you look at something like this, they're competing with obviously with Fortnite and just battle royale games in general. How are they going to make this different? Because that's the first thing people are going to go to. Is it just going to be the typical arenas and the typical maps? Okay, well then you're just depending on nostalgia. Right? You're just depending on people to be like, oh, I remember playing this in Halo 2, or I remember doing Capture the Flag like this in Halo 1 and 2. And then you're also thinking of, okay, playable characters, okay, you know, different types of Spartans that you can probably create. Okay, well, we already have that in current Halo multiplayer. Okay, well, then I would get to play as, you know, Covenant, and I'd get to play as all these other different, you know, species and races. And you really wonder, because they don't have a lot to build off of when going into a project like this, because the lore hasn't developed since Halo 5 or Halo Infinite. It hasn't really evolved, right? As far as characters and new stories, it's stuff that was referenced in previous games, and we already kind of knew about, and we're just hearing a more in-depth version of the story now. Right. I remember when hearing about the different races and alien races that appeared in Halo Infinite when I was playing like Halo 3 and things like this things there. So I don't know if it's going to be as successful as they're hoping for, simply because they don't have as much to build off of. But still I'm still, you know, kind of anxious to see, just because it's something that as a Halo fan, I'd like to see, you know, but I don't know if they can depend purely off of fan service, especially because they haven't been treating their fans the best as of.
Yeah, there's something to be said about that. I mean, again, I don't think they've gone out of their way to dump on fans. Our opinions matter because we obviously played the game. You don't have a successful franchise unless you have players. You know, you made mention of something that made me kind of the wheels were turning. We have heard, Liam, that this certain Affinity developed project is Battle Royale. It is Halo-based. Mm-hmm. It is expected to be, what they're calling it, different than every other Battle Royale. But you know what? I said earlier when we first started talking about this, Fortnite does something incredible. And not only do have they made the game move and be different because of fan feedback, like the no build mode was tremendous for it, because I'm not a builder. Like I would like, what am I doing here? I'm not building anything. I just want to shoot.
Yeah. Especially now when you just like everybody, like if you go in and you just play with builds, like everyone just builds towers and they just depend on that structure to help them win the game.
Yeah.
Right. They'll just go into the center and then they'll just be like, okay, boom, screw you, I'm here. Like it's tiresome.
It is tiresome. But you know what? One of the things that Xbox, and I've been saying this, anyone that watches the show understands that I'm a nostalgia guy. I love the fact that Microsoft has access to so many characters. The IPs that they currently own, no, I'm not even talking about ABK owning. I'm talking about just currently right now with their 23 studios, the IPs are through the charts. Yeah. So it kind of, this is a stretch, folks. I do not have this on authority at all. But listening to Liam break down Fortnite and how they do things and hearing certain affinities say, hey, this is going to be a different battle royale. Mm-hmm. Doing the Spartan thing could only get you so far, at least in my opinion. You know, colors, shapes, different helmets,
yes,
different jetpacks. But it's a Spartan. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. I got a question for you. And again, this is hypothetical. There's no merit to this at all. If they are looking for this heavily developed game by Certain Affinity to be successful, because it's going to be free to play probably, so you're going to need to make money on the game. You spent all this money on development. I would imagine you're going to try and make money on the back end of it.
Yep.
Is there a world, Liam, where they take this battle royale game and they kind of pull a page right out of Fortnite, and instead of trying to get licensed IP like Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader, they use Doomguy and Power absolutely. Armor. I mean, could that work for this game?
And if you're looking at just the range. Okay, so yes, I think there's perfectly a world for that, because you know, as we're looking at older titles that need to be, that the fans want to see the lore develop, or they want to see the experience develop. That's how we got God of War and then God of War 4 and 5. It was not an open world game before, but then they developed a new, completely new systems. When you look at the resources available to the Halo team from an character rights IP, you know, I see no reason why we can't drive Forza cars, fight with Dom from Gears of War, and then also like put in some armor sets from Diablo and enemies from Diablo, right? I think that if you're going purely off of the fact that they understand that they need to provide an experience for the fans, I think that if it's going to, and especially following their model of, oh, this is completely different than anything that's been here before, I think we definitely live in a world where that's possible, right? And again, I'm anxious because I have hope, and hopefully, like, that's something that we could see in the future. I'd love to see, you know, fighting Covenant with, you know, riding Spyro or something like that. I'm just pulling on like random titles now, but
no, you know. it would be, listen, you know, nostalgia is it sells. Nostalgia sells very well. And again, if I did have one small complaint about Xbox, and obviously they're my favorite brand, it's the lack of use when it comes to their characters. Like, I know Phil Spencer specifically is not a big fan of licensed IP because he doesn't have control over the IP. And that makes perfect sense from a business perspective. So even though I don't agree with his decision not to go out and license a character and have one of his teams build an Xbox version of Spider-Man, but using Daredevil, let's say, for instance, I still want to see that happen at some point. But if Certain Affinity is being tasked to take on the likes of Fortnite and Apex Legends and Call of Duty Warzone, just Spartan characters or even Covenant characters, for that matter, running around the map I don't think is going to be enough. But when you consider, Liam, where they have so many IP characters where they could use, Gears of War to great success, bring their characters in there. They could use Doom Guy as a downloadable character. And of course, Liam, this gets now we get into the business perspective of this. Mm-hmm. You're going to launch this free to play battle royale that is going into a shark infested waters with all of the big guns. And I just mentioned the three of them. You're going to need a little something extra, a little spicy in there. You put a power armor in there. You put a Gears armor in there. You put a Doom Guy armor in there. People are going to spend the money on your season passes.
Yeah, especially if they follow the freemium, the freemium method, right? The free to play, but premium for this. I always get a kick out of that term. But if they follow that, and then they make it so that these skin and these armor, these collectible armor sets in game, that, you know, it's the Doom Guy bracers with the Spartan helmet, and then, you know, armor and sets from different games, right? But if it has applicability to the overall experience and it enables you to excel in game, I see no reason why this can't be a financial success, because people are going to be very eager to pursue. Now, obviously, you know, you when you get into the microtransaction conversation and then kids and stuff like that, but when you understand that the overall experience is going to be able to be shared by so many different fans of Microsoft properties, right? Here's the thing. I'll give you an example. The Knights, we used to have a Gears of War team. We were the best, and when Microsoft was shutting down their Gears of War competitive, right? That I mean, that killed a lot of like our fans, and also like our players are like, oh, you know, this sucks. So we're gonna go all out in this last season. But now what they're doing is they could potentially, obviously we're in very early conversations of this, but that could give hope to the fan bases of all these games that haven't been shown a lot of love in recent times. When you look at esports hopeful titles, games that want to go out and become these big competitive titans, these big esports games, one of the things that you need is constant developer support. From whether they're fixing bugs, whether they're answering customer service questions, whether it's receiving weekly updates, you're going to see weekly, monthly updates for minor bug fixes from these bigger guys like Valorant, and, you know, one of the reasons World of Warcraft has been around for so long, or Dota, right? These guys, they pay attention, and that's something that they're definitely going to need. And providing the fan service of enabling users to participate in the game, showing their colors or affiliation with what games that they used to love, or being able to play as those characters, that is definitely something that I as a fan I'm excited for potentially, and something that others are going to be very excited for, because it's in their best interest to bring that developer support to this title with the resources that they have, you know, and we'll see how this new deal will affect something like this, right? Yeah. Because we've seen a lot of times when developers might be announcing a game and they might shut it down for whatever reason. You know, Scalebound was a huge example that I always go back to. The ability to go in an open world scenario and fight dragons with a dragon and then fight that other dragon, you know? And it's
on paper, it sounds like a dream come true.
Exactly. And then but here's the thing, like on paper it does sound true. And like with this new game, a Redfall, which was, you know, coming out from Xbox, and I think that it's overall, it could be considered a failure as a game release. Its overall failure might be the catalyst for them to look for new projects.
Yeah,
and this could be the big one, or one of the big ones, right? And it with massive replay value, and just overall, talking about it gets me very excited. I'm like shaking.
I mean, from a business point, from a fan's point of view, I want to see a world where we have Dom running around with Master Chief and Doom Guy fighting a bunch of other known IPs for Microsoft. Yeah. I said it before, and I want to reiterate this. My biggest complaint with Microsoft is the lack of use of IPs that they own. Because I know that, you know, there's a lot of people in the chat like, oh yeah, he doesn't want to rent these IPs. He wants to own them. I 1000% understand that from a business point of view, but they own a ton of IPs.
You can't give us a little bit, like,
yeah, just give us something, you know, yeah. Give us a little. I mean, again, I know it's apples to oranges, but if you look at what they did with Killer Instinct, it's pretty incredible. Mm. You know, obviously you had all the characters, but you had a bunch of guest characters. You had Battletoads in there. You had General Ram. You had the Covenant in there. I mean, they did some really interesting things, which I still believe that there's a world where we get a fighting game that incorporates Doomguy versus Master Chief. I still want to see that in happen.
Yeah. And I think with PlayStation, what was it? PlayStation properties,
it's called PlayStation All-Stars.
Yeah, All-Stars. Yeah, I remember that. It was it was cool because you got the characters from Infamous and you had Uncharted
players. BioShock was in it. BioShock was unbelievable.
Yeah, and it was like, oh my god! If Microsoft were to just make a game such as that with all of the characters that they own and follow the Mortal Kombat the Mortal Kombat motif of limited character releases every couple of months with these characters that you're mind boggling to see Hellboy go against Superman, right? Yeah. But it's something that. But like you get the right character voices and it's the overall experience because it develops the lore in there, because what are they saying to each other? Okay, why are they saying that to each other? What are they referencing? You know, that's something that the fans love. Yeah. So I think it's definitely they have the resources available to make a game a notable title, but we'll see if they actually utilize them, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, only time is going to tell, Liam. Liam, before we continue, I just want to catch up with some of the super chats and some of the generous super chats that have come in. Last night, I missed one from Torino Jackson. He says, boom, I bought Vampire Survivor on Game Pass. Thanks for the recommend. No problem, Torino. That game is addictive as all H. Shooter, 2853, good friend of the program, all the way from Australia. Shooter, it's great to see you back in the chat. I know you've been having a tough time with the health. Hopefully, you're back to being yourself, and obviously your health is leveled out. He drops a very generous $10 super chat and says, "Hey, Miss Boom, Mrs. Boom, Liam, hope this finds you well and safe. Thank you, and the good lady for the most welcome DM. Of course, brother, we reach out to you all the time. Boom and Mrs. Boom, it's our pleasure, brother." And we're glad that you are here and feeling better. We have a monster $50 super chat from Drawn TJ, generous friend of the program. He says this: I agree with you on the Battle Royale for Halo, but keep that as a separate playlist in the Battle Royale, because I want Halo 5's Warzone in the Battle Royale with the Halo weapons and cars, vehicles and all Halos and other IP characters. Yeah, I mean, listen, there are a lot of people that are not going to want their peanut butter to touch the chocolate. I completely understand that. That's understandable. But I think, Drawn TJ, that Microsoft or a certain affinity is trying to get into a field that is overly crowded and does not have any room to A, have shortcomings, or be the same old. Like, it can't be Apex Legends with Halo armor. It can't be Warzone with Halo armor. And it certainly can't be Fortnite, because if it's going to be Fortnite, it's going to have to incorporate different characters. Now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't, quote unquote, copy, Liam, but there is something to be said about you, especially when it comes to the money. I mean, let's take off the fan hats, Liam. And you especially are going to appreciate this conversation because you are incredibly business minded. Let's look at the business of this battle royale. It's going to be free to play, right? Mm-hmm. If it's free to play, it's going to need a hook. It's going to need to be good. It's certain affinity, so I have no doubt.
Yeah.
But there's going to have to be a hook there. It can't just be what I'm playing in Halo Infinite with all the different armors running around. It's going to have to be different. And that difference can come the way in the battle passes. And again, I'm not trying to make this into a business conversation, but I think we have to at this point. And this is where taking a page out of Fortnite's book and seeing, hey, we won't pay for Dragon Ball Z skins, or we won't pay for the use of Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes, because those are licensed IPs that we don't have control over. They have control over Doom and everything else. From a business point of view, does this work on just Spartan armors?
No. Yeah. No, it doesn't. When you when you look at it, how to formulate a decision as vital to the success of perhaps a Halo franchise or perhaps the Halo fandom overall, you need to take input from what is working in the space and how can you capitalize off of your unique twist on how you develop into that space, right? One thing that made any title that is notable now and has been so for the last 4 or 5 years is doing something unique. And there's something that you can learn from that, right? The ability to create your own experience is what made Minecraft and Roblox so popular. The ability to create a sandbox shooter with the ability to create skyscrapers and then in a shrinking battle royale scenario is what made Fortnite so much different from and arguably more successful than PUBG, right? PUBG is still a battle royale with a shrinking center, but it doesn't have as much ability to do the creative as Fortnite does. And I of course understand, like, oh, I don't want to, this could make it too cartoony, you know, or you know, there's all kinds of objections you could have. But since we're in the wheelhouse of making an informed decision that is going to impact millions, and I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to think that they're going to look at what's working and incorporate that into their own development decision. And that development decision right now is, look, we have access to potentially the IP of a bunch of different characters. We need to revitalize this current franchise and could potentially do so to a bunch of others. We also are going to be experiencing a huge influx of scrutiny, of public scrutiny, because, you know, let's face it, we've got the giant deal going on right now.
Yep.
So we have to be wary of that. Number two, Xbox is experiencing quite a lot of heat because of their lack of recent successes in the form of Redfall, right? And they're really harping on the success of potential of games that are going to come out in the next couple of weeks and months. So if you're going to set the stage for something that could, one, is doing something a little different with a modern twist, I don't think this is at all like a bad decision, purely from like a business side, right? And it's the stuff that's unique, different, and enticing that's going to pick the winners from the losers in a lot of this. So
yeah,
that's what I have to say to that, really.
That's a fantastic point. I think the being different, not marching to the same drum as everyone else, is going to be whether this game is a success or not. I absolutely agree. Liam, we're coming in on the hour mark of this. Obviously, this is just meant to be a one-on-one show. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be here, brother. This was great. We got a chance to know you as a person, as a business person. Again, I say this with complete respect to your age, being 25 and having the laser focus on the aspect of being a leader is tremendous. Again, I just met you for the first time. It was really great to sit down with you and kind of talk games, but it was really also interesting to get the business side of esports. Why don't you talk about that? Where could people check out the Pittsburgh Knights if they wanted to see the esports? What games are you guys playing right now? And where could people reach out to you on social media?
Yeah. So if you want to reach out to me on social media, I'd highly recommend you check out either my LinkedIn or you follow any of the Knights socials on okay. Most of the Knights socials is just going to be the domain name Knights. I don't know how we swung that, but we have it. So it's Knights Gaming on YouTube. And then it's going to be just the Knights on Twitter and Instagram. And as far as like current projects that I would recommend you guys check out, the Knights are on behalf of Riot Games are running the entirety of the Valorant Challengers League for the continent of North America. Right.
Wow.
And I'd recommend you go check that out. It's I believe you can do pks.gg/NACL. You can also just look up, you know, Knights Valorant Challengers League North America. But that's one of the larger opportunities that we have going on right now, because one, no matter how you slice it, Valorant is the esport right now. It is intense 5-on-5 shooter-based gameplay. How I like to describe it, it's like CSGO with superpowers, right?
Oh, wow.
And it's something fun to watch because it is so fast-paced. A bunch of different heroes that you can choose from, a bunch of different abilities that it helps for everyone. It helps to represent anyone's play style, right? So whether you want to check out the game or you just want to check out what we're doing, I definitely recommend you check that out first. And stay up to date on socials. We also run live competitive events in Apex Legends, Rocket League, Fall Guys on our own Twitch, right? So if you want to check out our Twitch, we're also running a bunch of cool stuff. And then June 14th, we're going to be running the Wiz Khalifa Wiz and Friends live stream over in LA. Yeah, so it's going to be a really fun blend of rap, fashion, gaming culture. And we're, you know, last year we brought Wiz and his and Taylor gang and all of his friends to the metaverse, and we showed him VR for the first time. And it was a bunch of different VR shooters and stuff like that. And then we did cool giveaways the entire time. So it's going to be on, that's going to be on June 14th. Right. Yep. So
right, follow that's up. Awesome, brother. Right. That, yeah. Right during E3 time. So that's
exactly,
awesome.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm probably going to be there. You guys might see me on camera. So
nice.
I might be flying out. We'll see.
I actually was going to fly out to LA. I was waiting for my my press stuff to come in, and of course they canceled it, which was very disappointing. But listen, you know what are you going to do? It is what it is. ESA is not the same, and you know what are you going to do? But listen, Liam, before we get out of here, I just had a couple of super chats that popped in here. Brett Bingham, who's a generous friend of the program, says this after dropping a $5 super chat: Phoenix, Doom Slayer, and Master Chief, and BJ Blazkowicz fighting hordes of Covenant, etc., could also bring in Joanna Dark and Call of Duty characters. Been saying this since 2020. I mean, listen, we're on the same page. And Drawn TJ dropped an additional $5 super chat. Let me find that right here. He says this: Doom Guy assassinate ghosts, and Master Chief kills of Doom Guy. Yeah, I just think there's something here. I know that, you know, they like doing their own thing. But I'll close out with saying that there has got to be a point where they're going to have to listen to the fans. If you know, I've been saying for years, where's the kart racer with all these characters that could be designed in all these different areas of, imagine driving through a Fallout level or a Doom level or a Perfect Dark level. It's just limitless. And the same thing with the fighting game. Microsoft is doing a lot of really great things. Xbox is doing a lot of great things. They are missing a mark on certain franchises potentially and certain genres that they're not looking into. But maybe they have some surprises for us, Liam, coming up on the June 11th show. But again, Liam, thank you so much, dude, for hanging out. This was awesome. And of course, folks, a big thank you to all the super chats that have come in. As always, they help more than you know. And of course, I wouldn't be Boom if I didn't close out the show with something that's important to me, folks. Hopefully one day it'll be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught me when we were kids. And he would say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. Live by those rules, son. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So everyone, take care. Enjoy gaming wherever you enjoy gaming. And we'll see you next week on the newest episode of X Vlog Live.